It really is about supporting those interchanges and their functionality for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right, council discussion.
I had a question for you, since you are the sponsor of this. There was a suggestion by the gentleman, whose name I forget, about having somebody from Department of Ecology and DEQ serve on the Mobility Council. He also suggested health departments. I tend to think four is too many, but I would go with the environmental agencies. I wonder if that was discussed and what would there be upsetting the apple cart at this point to include those agencies. I do think, you know, regardless of one's philosophy about the 12-lane bridge or not, air quality issues are very much here to stay, associated with transportation, and having air quality be one of the criteria under which decisions are made about tolling and hot lanes and things like that, I think would be good, useful to have that perspective.
Two responses. One, I think it's a very useful suggestion, and we've got, I assume, a Washington equivalent to the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality.
Of Ecology.
Yeah. So if the council is interested, I could support that. The other is that one of the reasons, the other reasons I didn't mention that we put citizens as the representative is we can also, there's expertise there. So the citizen representative from Portland could, we could seek out a certain kind of profile of that person. Around the table, there's been informal discussion, for example, that the DOT representative might be a nominee from somewhere else in the state, since there's a statewide aspect to the bridge as well. So if the council is interested, I'm supportive. If you want to put on an ecology DEQ person, I'm from both states.
Make that motion, I guess.
Agree.
It's been moved and seconded to include a DEQ ecology.
DOE. DOE is what they call it.
What is it called?
DOE, Department of Ecology.
Department of Ecology and DEQ representative, one from each state, and seconded. Can we call the roll unless there's discussion?
You're accepting this as a friendly amendment?
I think we still have to vote on it.
But your view is it's a friendly amendment?
It is a friendly amendment, yes.
Is it an amendment to the resolution or to an attachment? Where is it exactly being
We will
amended?
Put it in the resolution and assume it's also reflected in the attachments. How's that?
Fritz?
Yes.
Aye. Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
I'd like to just follow up on that. I was interested in Dr. Lowe's suggestion for a health department person from each state. I think there are different values that somebody with a health background would be concerned about than somebody with an ecological, with a purely DEQ, DEA. And that seems to be missing in the ongoing makeup of the committee because it's mostly transportation folks.
Well, I just want to be clear that it isn't prescribed who we appoint to be on as our representative, other than it cannot be an elected official. So we could choose a doctor. I just want to make that clear. I'm not arguing against your
right. Resolution. Well, we've only got one citizen, though. We might want to have a bicycle-type person. We might want to have a health-type person. I'm also interested in adding an environmental justice component, which is missing off this commission, this council. So if we've only got one person, we need a doctor who's a bicyclist and lives in and doesn't have much money.
So I think that's Dr. Lowe. I'm open to taking suggestions and seeing where the council is at on that. We're up to 13. So would you like to make that in the form of a resolution? Or, I'm sorry, an amendment?
Yeah, I move that we add a representative from each state to represent health concerns.
So I assume there's a state health department on both sides. So is there a second? Okay, the motion fails for lack of a second.
Okay, I move that we add an environmental justice representative from each state.
Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Other discussion. I was going to tick through some of the questions that were raised so you know that we've thought about some of these things and note where we haven't. Mr. Lowe talked about money going into this project that could be going into potholes, or somebody did, Chris. Who's Chris? Anyway, a testifier talked about this could take money away from local efforts. That's something that we're vigilant on. The state money that's being raised could be distributed to cities, but it's being raised specifically for this bridge. There is no local money going into this bridge that would compete for potholes, filling potholes. The bottleneck and other, I'm very concerned about this bridge and spoke to it at the beginning. I want to just underscore, I'm very concerned about both bridges being managed in a way that we are looking to their potential impacts outside of both bridge influence areas. And so that's why on you see on the performance warranty that that's one of the criteria that the Crossing Council will have to consider, and that we will have some performance warranty language for that. The discussion about toll should be the same for everybody. There's active discussion about different tolls for freight, different tolls during time of day. So I just wanted to make sure people knew that. The I-84 interchange is a very bad interchange, no question about it, and we continue to advocate for it being fixed. Whether I like it or not, the way that portions of each freeway all over the state, all over the nation are fixed on a project-by-project basis. Eminent domain. Who decides that? Paul, do you have an answer to that? You have to come to the... Do you have an answer?
Yes.
Why don't you come up? Paul Smith from the Bureau of Transportation.
Well, if, you know, representatives are here from ODOT, Jason Tell is here, but expanding I-5 in Oregon, if that were to happen, just like the project that you mentioned between Delta Park and Lombard, that would be the Oregon Department of Transportation that would consider that action.
The other question, you might as well stay up here in case.
Excuse me, just to follow up.
Yep.
They would consider that action, but does this body have any role in that action?
You'll remember that in this project, the council passed the locally preferred alternative resolution last July. We typically have the same role in a major highway project. We did that for the Delta Park Lombard project, and ODOT is very responsive to the issues that are brought up by this council as part of those LPAs.
But ultimately, it's ODOT, that the commission, that decides?
I believe so. Jason can confirm.
Is that right, Jason? Okay.
This project council could recommend condemnation of land alongside of I-5, and we would not have the right to say no, unless we could get the entire...
No. Only the State Transportation Commission, the Statewide Transportation Commission that currently exists is the body who authorizes condemnation for freeway projects, is my understanding.
Right.
And we don't have any say in that.
We don't have any say in that. Now or in the future. The concerns and rightful concerns about the analysis, it is actually one of the reasons for this approach. I want that performance warranty. I want form to follow function. I don't want these decisions coming at me and others in a piecemeal fashion without some sort of guiding set of performance goals that based on reasonable assumptions and great analysis. So I agree with that. In terms of leverage, we still have leverage now, the same leverage we have with or without this. This council has been very clear. I am very clear. We're going to have to make decisions. You know, the way these big projects are made is we have to come up with decisions on different components. But at the end, if we don't like how the sum total of the components look to us or function for us, we can still say no. Our leverage is political, and it's significant. There are lots of these kinds of projects around the United States, and we've been told by decision makers in Washington, D.C., the projects that have the most unified support from local decision makers are the ones that are going to get funded first. I want to co-manage the notion of ceding responsibility to future generations. I want to co-manage and give future generations a place at the table in managing not only this project, but hopefully other aspects of our transportation. What we do now is we passively rely on things like the number of lanes and think that that somehow is managing things, and it's very, very illusionary. I thought Walter's point that there are three lanes right now in each direction and we have massive sprawl in parts of this region was spoke directly to that point. There is nervousness. I have nervousness about this project, but again, taking everything together, I think this is the best way forward. So that's, I just wanted to make sure that we had some response to some of the comments.
Question. There are 31 of the conditions that were specified in the resolution passing the locally preferred alternative, which are not yet met, including, and thank you, Steph, for your response on this. So including things like reconfiguring the Marine Drive exit, which would be reviewed by City Council in March, would we still get to see that?
Richard, do you want to come up here? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Richard Brandman, the CRC Oregon Director.
So there are 31 of the conditions specified in the locally preferred alternative resolution that passed, and some of them have specific timelines about things that this, in your response or the council, the crossings response to me and my questions from the last hearing, includes things like that the Marine Drive interchange would be. Recommendations were made to the Portland City Council in March. Does this resolution supersede that, and those kinds of decisions would go to the new council?
The project is working actively on all of the issues raised in the resolutions, and we're acting in good faith on all of those. The Marine Drive issue has been a particularly sticky issue in that some of the landowners, which are Merck, and the government, which oversees Merck, which is Metro, and the city staff and TriMet, have not yet reached an agreement amongst themselves about which is the right design of the interchange. So the design work has been shifted and changed, I think, at least three times in the last several months to try and find a design that is supported by all the local governments, because we're striving for consensus.
Will that come to the Portland City Council?
If you would like it to, we can certainly bring it here.
I will bring it to the Portland City Council.
And how?
And what we're aiming for is, and I don't know if we're going to accomplish it, but as Walter Valenta mentioned, we're trying to get some of the transportation infrastructure a little further away from the Oregon Channel, the Oregon Slough, so that there would be opportunities to activate it.
So it would have been helpful to me to have had more information about which of the more than 31 conditions this new council will be responsible for making sure they're implemented and which ones we still get to weigh in on.
Oh, well, let me be clear, and obviously I haven't been. The project sponsors council and the process of coming back to the Portland City Council, the Vancouver City Council, Metro, CTRAM Board, TriMet Board, the DOTS, that it's the project sponsors council with you that is going to decide the basic components of the project and the performance warranties, the performance goals. Closer to 2016 or 2017, we will be impaneling the actual Columbia Crossing Mobility Council. They will pick our work up that we
Say
have.
Say that again. When are we having the Mobility Council?
Well, the bridge isn't scheduled to open until I think 2018. Is that right? So the project, what I'm proposing here today actually wouldn't be impaneled until much closer, maybe 2016, 2017, but we'll be deciding so the basis on which they will be then operating the district. But we, the city council here, and other decision makers and other bodies will be collectively deciding the basis of their work, including answers to those questions that you have in front of you.
So really what we're voting on today is the 12 lanes and the future creation once the bridge is built on its management. Is that correct?
No, we are also setting forth the expectation that we will be putting together the performance goals, which will be our performance warranty, and that will help us guide decisions on design and everything else, activation of the lanes, what the lanes would be used for, tolling, transit, activation issues of fares and schedules and frequency and all those things. Right now, my frustration is we don't have those performance goals in place, and yet we do have to make decisions on these individual components because there's that whole time and space linear, you know, they got to design and engineer some option.
That's helpful. And so the Project Sponsors Council will be coming up with those and bringing them back to all the jurisdictions?
Correct. Project Sponsors Council is where we try to come up with a consensus that we then all, most of us, have to take back to our actual governing bodies for confirmation.
Thank you. That's helpful.
You bet. Any other conversation? All right. Then I think, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
So I'm profoundly disappointed that this authorizes a 12-lane bridge because I don't believe we've answered crucial questions about why we want or need 12 lanes. We are proposing a fourth through lane that is 4.2 miles long, and we're calling the extra lanes auxiliary lanes, but in fact we haven't been discussing why we need the three through lanes if we have the three auxiliary lanes. And I have not had some of my questions answered in terms of the weaving between six lanes to get into the very fast lanes or how that would work. And I'm concerned that looking at the junction of I-405 and I-5 near the Killingsworth exit, which is a very difficult maneuver to get from I-5 to get off at the Killingsworth exit, that we're creating another problem like that. I'm concerned that we're not addressing congestion in I-5, I-84, and I'm concerned that we're setting up the City of Portland to agree to widen I-5 in the Rose Quarter, which I have no interest in doing. I think we've already taken the neighborhood there and we don't need to take any more of it. I'm concerned that we are choosing the most expensive option and that the resolution that was passed last July called for the smallest possible bridge, and I find it ironic that the smallest possible bridge also happens to be the biggest proposed bridge. I'm concerned about the funding. When we have so many other needs, both in the state of Oregon, I think it's something like $400 to $600 million coming from the state of Oregon, we don't have that money. We have a lot of other construction needs in the Portland metro area, which I believe are more crucial than this particular bridge. I share Mr. Polani's urging for us to look at freight via rail and more attention to the rail aspects of this whole project, which was outside of the project impact area and therefore did not receive as much attention as I would like to have seen it. I'm concerned about the amounts and the locations of the tolling, which conflicts with some of the information, some of the proposed elements of the concept for the resolution. Talks about assure all trips are affordable, which I don't know what that means, and that multimodal trips are less expensive than drive-alone trips. I don't know how that's going to work. I am concerned about the proposed health standard, preventing health air pollution hotspots, which would allow overall pollution to be high. I don't think we've adequately addressed the environmental justice concerns, both not only in the project area, but closer down in I-5 and I-84 neighborhoods. And while in principle, an Interstate Columbia River Crossing Council to address ongoing issues of maintenance and demand management may be a good idea, and I'm comforted to hear that it's a long-term idea rather than happening next month, it doesn't give the city, which is the biggest winner or loser, it doesn't give the city of Portland any say in the outcomes and the goals that were articulated in the original resolution. There is no accountability to Portland voters. There are no elected officials proposed on this council, and that concerns me greatly. Vague is not necessarily better if the goals of the project cannot be met, and that's why I continue to be concerned about the 12-lane bridge. And giving all the power to a regional authority whose decisions will never be overturned is really troublesome. Reversing a regional council decision requires all the jurisdictions to pass exactly the same resolution, and realistically that is not going to happen. So I can't support 12 lanes based on the evidence and the record. I'm concerned about the Mobility Council, and I'm concerned about the increase in pollution in Portland, particularly was mentioned in the Lombard 405 section, the potential for us to be missing opportunities in this crossing and for us to be causing problems outside of the project area, making them worse within Portland. Nay.
Fritz. Fish.
Well, and Carla, people should know that we recently switched the order in which we're calling out. So I'm actually in the same predicament you are, because I keep thinking you are going to call me first, but it's now Fritz, and we're on a rotation. You know, I have been on a colleague of Commissioner Fritz's now for about 2 months, and I have to say I have said at every neighborhood meeting I thought she brought she was a great addition to this body, and her comments today to me further illustrate the great value that she's brought, and I appreciate that she has very strong views, her own voice, and she expresses herself, and I think on this and other issues going forward will be better for it. And I listened carefully to the concerns that you raised, and a little part of me thought that on some of those issues, you certainly would have been within your rights to offer an amendment during the earlier stage of our discussion for a discussion rather than to identify them as a deal killer. But again, I appreciated very much the points that you made, and I'm beginning to have a sense on this issue that we are doing sort of to the critics of this plan, we've sort of taken our normal transportation model and inverted it. And let me give you an example. One of the first votes that I cast on this body was a vote to support light rail to Milwaukee. And what we got on that plan was basically a little sketch on the back of a cocktail napkin that was presented to us with no way to fund, and most of the details other than the alignment over the river left open. And I remember turning to Dan Saltzman, who I guess is the second most senior member of this body. The most senior member?
He's actually the most senior.
The most senior by tenure.
I'm the senior citizen.
You're the senior citizen. But I remember turning to the most senior member and saying, is this how you guys do transportation planning? And he might have said, he'll deny it now, but he might, enough time has elapsed. Actually, we're both up for re-election. Maybe I shouldn't say this story. But he said something to the effect of, the way we do transportation planning is we set the vision, we vote on these things, we queue up for the money, and we always deliver a good product. We work out the details, which actually was something that was familiar to me because that's also how we do affordable housing. We set the vision. We kind of put together some of the details. We tell these incredibly creative people to make it happen, and we find a way to pay for it. So, in effect, some of our best transportation planning and housing planning is based on that leap of faith. But the faith is that we have the right people at the table to make good judgments on behalf of people. And I take it from Commissioner Fritz's comments that she has significant concerns about that. And we may replay this hearing in 10 years, and she may be right. But I've come to a different conclusion. And I don't think it's because I have any greater insight into this than she does, but I'm willing to treat the planning process on this bridge the way we do the planning process for light rail and housing, and to take that leap of faith and to accept that, yes, it's not perfect, but that we have enough protections built in that we might just get the bridge that we want. So I think that ultimately is where the dividing line comes down. And I say that, though, because my good friend Ron Buell has come before this council now on several occasions, and my sense is that he keeps getting more agitated at us, and I appreciate that. That's one of his unique roles, is to be agitated before legislative bodies. It's why he has been so singularly effective. And today, you know, in your statement, which I thought was very eloquent, you say that if we accept this resolution, we're sort of aligning ourselves with something that we know to be dishonest. And to my good friend Ron Buell, I want to say that I take that challenge very seriously. I will go home tonight and sleep reasonably well, in part because I don't think that my vote is dishonest. But I do think you and I have a reasoned disagreement. And I will continue to listen very attentively to your testimony at every stage, because as the mayor has said, it is still within our hands to shape. And if at some point the sort of balance tips and you convince me otherwise, then I will join with my friend Ron Buell in raising a flag or an objection. But I will respectfully say that in casting my vote today, I do not believe I'm acting in a dishonest way. although I respect your right to vehemently disagree with either the reasoning or the outcome of my vote. Two things I heard today that frame my thinking on this question. One is Henry Hewitt, who talked about establishing the framework for the future. That's really what we've been doing. We've been establishing a framework. We are not penciling in all the details. But from my point of view, this framework has a lot to offer. We have made huge strides in putting light rail and pedestrian and bicycle. We have done, I think, huge strides in thinking about how form follows function and stepping back and putting into this what the mayor calls a performance warranty. We've listened carefully to the concerns of the lots of people in the North Portland Peninsula, and I believe this plan can be better because of that. So for me, this is a framework that is getting sketched in with greater detail, but from my point of view, is still headed in the right direction. And so based on the information that we received today, listening to the very thoughtful testimony, I'm going to vote yes on this resolution. But I will continue to keep an open mind as my colleague Commissioner Fritz raises her concerns and as my friend Ron Buell raises his concerns, because this is an ongoing process. I want to thank Catherine, who I guess left, but and Sam's staff for the briefings that we got and the time that's been spent. And I want to say one thing on behalf of our beleaguered mayor. People will pick through issues from time to time and try to point to one that shows that our mayor is leading. I think on this one, in fairness, he gets credit for leading. This is an example of bringing a region together around a compromise. It's a compromise that a lot of people don't like. But the essence of leadership is not getting complete consensus. And in fact, sometimes I think the best compromises are ones that everyone has some grumbling about. To me, that's leadership. So I compliment the mayor and his leadership, and I will vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I think the proposal by Mayor Adams and Mayor Pollard and others to have this mobility council is with performance measures is really the only way to go. Whatever your feelings are about the right number of lanes, the important part of this innovation is to have the ability to manage the asset. I mean, that's currently the rage of all the infrastructure bureaus is how do you not only build your assets, but how do you manage them, manage their performance over time? Because we often spend more time on the former, building things, than we do on the latter, and that is managing the assets. So this sets in place, I think, the tools to truly manage that asset to achieve a number of performance measures, whether that's the ultimate number of lanes that are opened or how those lanes are used, or maximizing or assuring a certain level of use of light rail. So I think that, you know, and I will admit that, you know, I'm probably as, I think this innovation is important and I will support it, but I'm probably as disappointed as maybe Commissioner Fritz is or others that there really is a lot of the things we talked about in July just never happened. There never was an independent analysis of greenhouse gas emissions. There never was looking at induced demand or, you know, how land use patterns might change. And there was a third one there never was an independent analysis of. And, you know, I'm chagrined about that and kind of disappointed. But, you know, not to the point that I'm going to beat my head against the wall here. I think there are good foundations for the decision to move forward that's going to serve the interests of the citizens of Portland, residents of Portland, but also the residents of Clark County and Vancouver, who, you know, many. I'm really pleased that, you know, Portland is the job center, and I want to keep it that way. I'm perfectly happy with people from Clark County coming here to work. It feeds our land use system. It feeds our transportation investment decisions over the years. So it's a dynamic not likely to change. I'm sure Clark County and Vancouver would like to have a better jobs housing balance, and, you know, that's great, but I'm okay with Portland being the jobs magnet, too. So I'm pleased to support this. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, there are very few times in one's political career that you cast a vote that affects more than just those that you are currently representing, and this is one of those very few times in an elective career that I have chosen over the last 16 plus years. This won't affect just the current generation of Portlanders and Washingtonians, or even Americans for that matter, but I would expect well over 100 years in the future at a minimum. It's difficult to isolate those issues when you're being hit eight different ways, as Mayor Adams was. I fortunately was pretty clear from the beginning, and I didn't have to suffer through some of what he has had to suffer through these past few years. But I've observed from afar, both personally and, as I've mentioned before, watching on Comcast, the hearings. And so I appreciate what it has taken for him to get to this point. I'm one of those forces, by the way, that he's had to deal with, that he satisfied in the really balanced approach that he brought to this. So I certainly want to echo Commissioner Fish's very, what I think are appropriate remarks about Mayor Adams' leadership on this, and echo that sentiment, and recognize that it's not easy to find these balances when you have such, you know, volatile competing forces wanting you to do whatever it is they think is the right thing. But I'm also convinced that, and I'm also reminded that this morning we had a discussion wherein we used pictures to describe where we were and where we want to go. We have a picture of a building that's 60 years old that we actually want to now compare to a building that today has been allowed to be in some state of disrepair, and we actually want to get back to what that building looked like. If we could go to 2016 when this project's done, I hope somebody takes a picture of the building that the bridge that we replace with the bridge that's going to be new. And I think people will scratch their head and wonder why some were advocating keeping a bridge that had absolutely no possibility of light rail, absolutely no possibility of adequately using it as a bicycle path, and dangerous, to say the least, for pedestrians, when what we will have is a world-class light rail system, a world-class bicycle system, and a world-class pedestrian path. And I recognize that, and I think, Sam, you recognize that, which I greatly appreciate. You know, in terms of traffic management, I mean, this really is a microcosm of a solution on a larger scale that a lot of us have been talking about for a long time, and some in the room here and I have talked about as well. Gasoline is too cheap in the United States of America. It is too cheap, and it's too cheap because, you know, not because, as our Attorney General said, we are a nation of cowards, but because we have a Congress that's full of people that are afraid to do what they know is the right thing and raise the gas tax to a level that will manage traffic and get people out of their cars and onto transit systems. When we were paying $4 a gallon for gas about a year ago, and everybody was howling, I was riding TriMet and noticing I could never get a seat anymore. People were voting with their feet, parking their cars, getting on TriMet and Max. And that's really the bigger answer to this problem. But until then, we have to come up with solutions like Sam has developed here to manage traffic. I am pleased with the work you've done, Mayor Adams. I commend you and recognize how absolutely challenging under any conditions it is to reach this kind of a consensus, and I appreciate it.
Adams.
Well, thank you all for your comments and your support and loyal opposition. I appreciate it. I really also want to just underscore thanks to David Bragdon and Tim Levitt and Steve Stewart and Royce Pollard. These were lively conversations, and everyone had to get really creative. I also want to thank Catherine Charlo and Shoshana Oppenheim from my transportation team and Dan Anderson. Really appreciate your great work, and we have a lot more work to do. I like the way that Commissioner Fish pointed out that this project is still in our hands. And, you know, what I proposed here is to build some tools to put in those hands. And that's really the development of those goals up front. The goals will be done as soon as we can get them done accurately. We're not waiting until the end. We actually want them up front so that it can shape our decisions on everything else. And that's more than we have right now. Remember, the traditional way these things are done is 205. You build it, you walk away. The dots in Olympia and Salem do their best. This provides more local influence over the way the project is done. And again, it's done based on performance. So I really appreciate everyone's willingness to dig into this issue, your support, your concern. And we are far from this being the last council session on this project. There's a lot more coming back at us. So I vote aye. Thank you. We are recessed. We are adjourned. So close.
Thanks, sir. You, yeah, that was kind of an interesting...